Get your Bible out to Isaiah chapter 6. I started talking about this 2 night, but we didn't have a great big number here, and I want everybody to hear this. This is very important. This is so important. Also, I did it on Facebook Live. Wednesday night. Y'all, we're Facebook Live on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Building Lives for the Kingdom. You got your Bible, say amen. You don't say, oh me. All right, everybody, y'all mighty loud. I can't hear you. Okay, it's your Bibles. Ready? Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Let's just stop right there for right now. Let's ask God for a special touch and a special anointing. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're alive and well and you're on the throne. And we thank you, God, that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that you cannot do. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint and to have your will in your way. God, to move in our lives like only you can. Lord, we know, God, this day is yours. It's not ours. It's yours. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it today. Help us, God, to understand that you got everything in control. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. I'll tell a story. There was a man who had been visiting a therapist because he had fear of monsters living under his bed. The man had been seeing the doctor for months, and every time he would come to the doctor would ask, have you made any progress? And every time, the man would say no. So the man decided to go and see another doctor. When he went back to the other doctor and he asked, have you made any progress? He said, yes, I'm feeling all better now. The doctor said, what happened? The man said, I went to another doctor, and he cured me in one session. The doctors asked, well, what did he tell you to do? The man said, he just told me to cut the legs off of my bed. Amen? So today, I want to cut some legs off some beds. Amen? Look at somebody and say, we're going to have some leg cutting going on. Amen? Now, again, this is probably one of the shakiest, hardest times in the history of the United States. We've had some hard times. We've had some rough times. We've had times when the nation was divided so badly that a civil war broke out that actually caused the division in the North and the South. And we thought that we would never see stuff like that again. But I'm here to tell you, it's here again. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sit here and just blow sunshine up everybody. I'm just going to tell you, it's here again. Never have I in my entire life seen the country so divided as it is today. So, and on both sides, there's good points. On both sides, there are bad points. I'm not here to argue points with you. I'm just here to tell you that the country is divided. And because the country is divided, somebody needs to stand up and say, hold on, calm down. Let's don't get in such an uproar because we don't want to start another civil war. We want to let God be in control. Amen? When the North fought, the North said we got God on our side. The South fought, said we got God on our side. Well, God was on both sides. The problem was God was not allowed to be God. Right now, in this day and time we live in, we are not allowing God to be God. You can tell by the stuff our nation does, we are not allowing God to be God. Absolutely. Nobody can argue that point. Look at the Word of God. Look at our laws. You'll see there's so much that's not even biblical, not even godly, that we keep doing and keep allowing to be done. And so somebody somewhere needs to stand up, and it's not going to be the Republicans. It's not going to be the Democrats. It's not going to be Trump. It's not going to be Biden. The people that are going to stand up and bring peace at this time is the church. We're the ones. We're the ones that hold the keys in our hands. We're the ones that make the difference right now. Without us, honestly, without us speaking up, the world is tossed in such a bad turmoil that you would think that the end was coming, which is exactly what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. Now, today I was going to talk about the rapture of the church, as in the Old Testament. I was going to start doing a rapture maybe once every so often do something about the rapture that is coming. The purpose of the rapture is actually to remove the church out of the way, or the restraining force, which is we are the restraining force, the Holy Spirit embodied in God's church. We are the restraining force. And God has us here in order for us to make a difference, but we cannot stay silent and make a difference. We cannot be quiet and make a difference. We cannot argue amongst ourselves and make a difference. If we're going to make a difference, we need to get our act together, focus on God, His Word, and promote His Word, and then that'll make the difference. Amen? Amen. This ain't about how I feel. This is about what does God say. Amen? This ain't about how you feel. This is about what does God say. Amen? So looking at it that way, that's what I'm trying to do today is bring some stability. I want to talk about the rapture. I was getting excited about talking about being taken out of the way. But right now I'm going to talk about being put right smack in the middle of the way. Amen? It's time for us to stand up, not just lay back. You know, we got to get up and make a difference, okay? The church has to be the church, okay? That's what we were here for. We weren't here so we could have a Sunday service. We can all talk about, wasn't that great music? Wasn't that great preaching? And go home and do nothing. What to do is, when you hear music, is to inspire you. When you hear sermons, are to inspire you to go out and make a difference. This is seeds being planted. Every Sunday, these are seeds being planted, and they grow when you get outside of this door. And you either pass those seeds along so they grow even more, or they grow in you, and then you step outside and you bloom and blossom. So it's very important right now. It's decision time. Here's the decision right now. And I'm going to ask you this plainly. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say anything. Amen will be nice, because let me know that we are listening and you hear what I'm saying. Is God still on the throne? I know we're not messing with some. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't get ahead of myself. But my question today is, it's decision time. Is God still on the throne? If God is still on the throne, then guess what? It's all going to work out. Amen? It's going to work out according to God's plan. So let's just watch this now. Who's really in charge? Who's calling the shots? I can promise you, it's not the Republicans and it's not the Democrats. It's not in this divided nation that we got. God is still on the throne and He's calling the shots. Now, and if you don't know what I'm getting ready to say, then you actually have been asleep now for several years. You're Rip Van Winkle. You just woke up and you're going, wow, what in the world is happening? I want you to see that seesaw there is broken. Guess what? We just came through a tumultuous election. Tumultuous. And I can tell you, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to say it or not, both sides have blood on their hands. Both sides acted a whole lot like children. Both sides, I honestly was ashamed to say some of this stuff, and so to be up there leading us is acting like kids. Both sides, not one side, both sides. I saw more of this. I'm thinking, you're supposed to be representing the people. Instead of be helping us get out of our mess, not making it bigger by being up there throwing temper tantrums. Both sides have blood on their hands. Okay, so now, between COVID and this election, which honestly, this election made it even worse at the top, our nation's values and our nation's faith has been shaken to the core. Amen? So now, we watch what's going on here. We see what's happening around us. And you know what? Again, we just see constant, even in families, you might have two people in a family and one is one side, one is the other, and there's constant turmoil. They can't even go to family gatherings together because of their difference in political views. That shouldn't be that way. Amen? Right, so here we go. Let's watch this now. Let's listen carefully, because this is not what I wanted to preach today, but I really believe that this needs to be coming out now. Okay, I believe this really needs to be addressed. Last week, marked the beginning of a new administration. It happens every 4 years. It's not a big surprise. And another big surprise is they don't always stay on one side or the other. Usually it's on one side for a while, then it's on the other side for a while, then the midterms come and things start changing. There's a realigning. There's all kinds of stuff. This has been happening. I'm 60 years old. This has happened as long as I can remember in my short 60 years. Okay? So listen carefully. I want you to listen carefully what I'm about to say. No matter which party would have won, you got to remember this when you go to work tomorrow. Because I guarantee there's people in your work that won't even talk to you because of your view. Amen? There's people that treat you differently because they don't like your views. And that's not the way it should be. We're humans. We are God's children. We should be able to talk. We should be able to do this without having a civil war. Okay? So now, no matter which party would have won, for some, this is a great day. For others, it's a bad day. I'm not here pushing either party. I'm not here for that. I've got my own political views, but I'm not talking my political views right now. I'm trying to talk about the Word of God and how to settle our differences. All right? So if you want my views, just come see me later on. But this is not up here for my views. This is the Word of God. Ready? Let's watch. So no matter what, no matter which party would have won, I guarantee you today, half the nation will be happy, half the nation will be sad. Don't matter. Put Trump back in and leave Biden out. Half the nation will be happy, half the nation will be sad. It don't matter. Okay? So because of that, we have to understand the mechanics of all this. Just remember, I was thinking back. Remember 4 years ago? Colleges were shutting down. They were having to have classes for some of their liberal students because they couldn't believe that Trump was in office. Remember that? Do you remember that there was people actually 4 years ago having all types of emotional crises? So, I mean, this isn't new. What's happening now is not new. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the only answer is us. We're the answer. Okay? Now, because we're the answer, remember, it's not my point of view. It's God's point of view that matters. God's point of view that matters. So look, we don't have to go there. We don't have to be getting some kind of emotional crises because of who's in charge. We don't have to go in all kinds of trouble. It's going to be okay. Look, somebody said it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So now, here we go. I'm going to do this real quickly, and hopefully it'll bring some continuity to your methodology of informing people or even trying to be the church. Okay? So watch this now. Ready? Here we go. There's God on his throne. That's an awesome thing. Biden will never sit there. Trump will never sit there. One more time. God's throne. Trump will never sit there. Biden will never sit there. Those that are around the 12 around the throne, or the 12 apostles around the throne, are not Republicans and Democrats. They're Christians. Okay. So now watch this. Ready? Ready? And then we're going to be around there too. So watch this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple, and above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole Lord is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one flew of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon his mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Isaiah chapter 6. Now I want just to dig into this for a little while, because I was asking God after the election and all the stuff that was leading up to, I saw it. And y'all saw it too. I saw the pressure building. We know the pressure is building because of all the riots and the looting and of all the other stuff, the storm in the Capitol, all that stuff. Black, white, red, and yellow. Nobody's hands do not, there's nobody without blood on their hand. No sign. Okay? No sign. Okay. So I say all this is because it's a pressure cooker. And the pressure cooker is not being addressed in the proper way. We're treating symptoms, like I said last week. We're treating symptoms instead of the disease. And the disease is being pushed further and further and further away. You cannot treat cancer with a Band-Aid. You have to treat cancer by cutting it out. Amen? So here we go. Get ready. In the year that King Uzziah died, he had been king for 52 years. Because of him, the military was at its height. The economy was at its height. That's not Trump, that's Uzziah. I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about Uzziah back in that day. Got me? Okay. The military was at its greatest. The economy was at its greatest. All kinds of things were going, but Uzziah got the big head. And because he got the big head, God struck him down. He got leprosy. Still, everything was going good for 52 years. Some great things were going. So look, once he died, everything they knew ended. Sound like now? And I'm not talking Republican, Democrat. I'm not talking about political issues. I'm talking about just plain out, flat out. Can't hide it. Can't put it under the porch. Everything that they knew was gone because he died. And now to begin was the unknown. Every 4 years, what we knew is gone. Every 4 years. Unless you have a man reelected, every 4 years, what you know ends, and what you do not know begins. Amen? I'm getting quiet on me. Every 4 years, so the cycle never stops. If a Republican gets in next time, it's going to be for the Democrats. The known is ended. The unknown is coming. The cycle's going to keep on going. For the Republicans, they go, wow, I've got the Republicans in office. Well, you know what? Even with him, the known is ended. The beginning is unknown. Because you never know what's going to come down the pike and how other nations are going to be trying to intercept us. So in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. God looked down at Isaiah. Isaiah's in distress. The nation's in distress because the known had ended and the unknown was upon them. And they weren't sure where they were going. And so God said, come on, Isaiah, you're my prophet. You need to let the people know because they're not going to know if you don't let them know. You're the church and the world will not know if we don't tell them. Listen carefully. The world will not know if we do not tell them. Okay? Isaiah needed a refocus. I believe right now the nation needs a refocus. We need to pull together our resources instead of fighting each other, pull together and start working this stuff out. So now watch this. Here's the refocus. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Uzziah's dead. He's gone. Okay? He's buried. He said, but I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, meaning he couldn't get any higher. He was lifted up, meaning everything around him was pointing to him and pushing him and promoting him. And his train filled the temple. I remember when Princess Diana got married and she walked in that cathedral and she had, I don't know how many women holding her train as she went walking down that aisle. Remember that? Can you imagine God setting him like the other kings, and instead of having two or three pages behind him carrying it, instead it filled the whole place up with his train. Wow. God said, you need to get a refocus. Right now our nation needs a refocus. Our nation needs to quit pulling off Band-Aids and showing the wounds and pulling them back up and go, your fault, your fault, your fault. And say, God, here's all our wounds. We need you to heal them. That's what he said. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and they pray and they turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Wow. Quit fighting and let's go to God. Amen? So, of course, I know this might not be what you came to hear this morning. It ain't what I came to preach this morning to start with. God gave it to me. I finished it yesterday. Ready? Here we go. What's that again you see up there? The throne. Let's talk for a minute. All the leaders of the world, United States, Canada, Mexico, England, Russia. I got mixed up on Tuesday night and I wrote down Australia, and when I went back, called it back, I called it Asia. I can't even read my own writing. Amen. All the leaders of the world, here they are, every last one of them. Every last one of them, even Putin, they hold office. Won't you listen? They hold office. On the throne, they hold office. They're either elected, battled their way there, or they're born there. Okay? Watch this now. They have a very limited seat. They have a starting point and they have a stopping point. I've yet to see anybody in power. Okay, 100 years after that person took power, do you think they're still there? I don't see anybody live 100 years after they took power. It's limited. Okay. It's limited seat, starting point, limited power because it's just a small area that they have any say-so over, and a limited ability because they only have so many resources. And right now, the whole world is fighting over leaders that are holding office, elected, battled, or born into it. They're not going to be here for so many years. They're not going to be here for so long. They're going to have a limited power, the jurisdiction, and they're going to have a limited ability, resources. Watch this. The great God Jehovah, he sits on the throne. He's not holding office. He sits on the throne. And listen to this. He isn't elected, battled, or born. He's always, always been on his throne. And the seat, he will always, it's not a starting point and a stopping point, he will always be on his throne. His power is unlimited. He controls the entire universe and universes and universes and universes and universes. He's seen way beyond what the Hubble telescope can see. He's seen way beyond what any satellite can see that's gone out into space. Why? Because his resources. He's all-seeing. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere at all times. He's in your past, your present, your future at the same time. Do you think that it upset him when Trump lost the election and Biden was put? Do you think it upset him? He went, "That's not what I had planned." Because at the same time, he can go back to the very beginning of the United States, to the very end of the United States, to this election, and he's at all places at one time. He looks at it all. And he goes, so because of that, because he's there, and because he has that ability, get ready, here we go. Something special, believe it or not, is getting ready to happen. Let's just talk a little bit more about him. Ready? God is still, here he is. God is still on the throne. Amen. He's not up in heaven pacing, wondering how in the world can the Republicans and the Democrats, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're trying to figure out, was God a Republican or is he a Democrat? Really? It's kind of like, I remember talking about this, the white preacher and a black preacher riding down the road. They've been friends for years, and their only argument being was whether God was white or black. They're on the way to a convention. On the way to this convention, they get in a car wreck and they're killed at the same time. They're standing at the pearly gates. They go in and say, "Wow, we both made it." And they said, "Isn't it awesome?" And then one guy looked at the other and said, "You know what? Now we get an answer. You say he's white. I say he's black. We'll find out. Let's look for the throne room." And they see the angels and all the pomp and circumstance. That's got to be the throne room. And they walk around and they see God coming this way. And they said, now we'll find out if he's black and white. When God come around, he went, Buenos dias, senores. God is not Republican. God is not Democrat. God is in control. God is God. He's on the throne. He's never going to relinquish his power. God is God. Amen. He's not trying to figure out what to do. That's why I say we have the answer, and we're the ones that's going to be bringing it out. That's why they try to shut the churches down, because they know that we have the answer. Amen. I'm not a robot. The Republicans don't tell me what to do. The Democrats don't tell me what to do. God tells me how to live my life. Amen. So, God's still on the throne. No, he's still on the throne. He is sovereign over all things. He says, remember, well, I love this. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There's none else. I am God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Let's just read this in another version. I like this other version, the message. Remember your history, your long and rich history. I am God, the only God you've ever had and will ever have. I'm incomparable, irreplaceable. From the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be. All along, letting you in on what is going to happen, assuring you that I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I've set out to do. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. You need to give the Lord a hand clap on that one. Praise God. Give him a hand clap. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. So here we go. Now here's one of my favorite scriptures. This came to me the night of the election, or the month of the election. Ready? Daniel 2:21. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises them up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Wow. Wow. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? It kind of helps me to know that God's in this for the long haul. God's got this. God already told us that the world is going to come into the one world system. There's going to be a great disease. There's going to be all kinds of calamities. They're all going to come together and become a one-world government. He's already told us that. We did not know exactly. We thought the sickle was going to come down and the communists were going to take over. No. It's amazing what the launching pad is right now. COVID-19. Last year, or maybe now 2 years ago, if I'd have walked in the bank like this, they called the law. And I did walk in. I went yesterday to a Chinese restaurant in Washington, took Anna and Emery, and they had a writ sign saying, no mask, no service. Please wear your mask, no service. And I'm very skilled in my Spanish. And it said, por favor, mascara. So I walked up to the lady and I said, well, my granddaughters are wearing it, but I'm not. Can I still be served? And she said, excuse me. I said, I don't have any mascara on. I was like this, though. I said, no mascara. And she goes, no sense. Watch this. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. His ways are high above our ways, and everything God allows moves history along to its prophesied end. That is King James Version. That's King James. That's the one Paul preached out of. Ready? God allows what God allows, everything God allows moves history along to the prophesied end. Wow, let's just read another version of that. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He knows all, does all. He changes the seasons and guides history. He raises up kings. and also brings them down. He provides both intelligence and discernment. He opens up the depths, tells secrets, sees in dark. Light spills out of him. Wow. That's some awesome stuff. Knowing this, honestly, every time I hear something going on, it gets me ill, and I have to stop. I told you I turned the news off. I don't even listen to it anymore. When I do listen to it, it automatically, within 5 minutes of turning on the news, I'm ready to go fight somebody. So I just turned it off and listened to it in bits and pieces. I used to be a news hound. I'm not a news hound anymore. Okay? I just get in bits and pieces, because if I try to listen to it all the time, it'll make me so angry. Period. Blood on both sides makes me furious. We're better than this. Our nation is better than this. Our forefathers made sure that we would be better than this, and we have allowed corruption to take what was awesome and make something penny-ante over. And it's aggravating to no end. So I have to get a refocus. Every time I turn on the news, I got to stop and get a refocus. Wait a minute, God's on the throne. God still got this. God raises up kings and sets them down. He changes the seasons. He's got this. Ah, that's right. So look, I love this. El Shaddai, God our strength, and in him the victory is won. It is finished. It is done. Yahweh is the Lord, and in him we have overcome. Ready? Watch this. I'm almost through. I'm just about through. I wrote a lot of this down so you can see it. And if you want outlines, I'll put some outlines from the other week out there. And I'll put some outlines on this also out there so you can have all these PowerPoints. Watch this. Whether, listen to me, look, perhaps God wants Americans, listen to me carefully, Americans. We're all Americans, aren't we? We can say that. Perhaps God wants us American Christians to put our trust solely in God, rather than our comfort and safety. Usually what happens to a marriage, when it starts falling to pieces, is we start taking each other for granted. When you start having problems on your job, a lot of times because you start taking each other for granted, communication shuts down. When things get going good, then we just kind of start taking things haphazardly. Well, you know what? Judging by what's going on in this world today, we've taken God haphazardly. We've kind of put him on the back shelf. And God says, I want you to know something. It's time for you to put me back on the front. I want to get back on the front burner. And if I don't get back on the front burner, you know what's getting ready to happen. Good, bad, or ugly. Whether Republican or Democrats in the White House, it does not matter. If we don't get God back on the throne, we got a problem. Period. 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 It's time for us to realize, watch this, he's enough. Actually, he's more than enough. Genesis 17 and 1 and 2. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, will greatly increase your numbers. Now watch this. That Hebrew word, God Almighty, is El Shaddai. The God who is more than enough, more than sufficient. It means he has the power to complete his promises and blessings of prosperity. Everything God does is over the top, more than enough, a surplus, superabundant, overflowing, good measure, pressed down, shaken over, shaken together, running over. God's got this, but he wants to be put back in. He wants to be our focus. Amen. The seasons are changing. Are you ready? Again, I get tired of hearing people say, well, now 2020 is over, we're going to be all right. No. Again, 2020 was a down payment. It's time for the church to flourish. We can really flourish now. We can really do something special now because we have the answer. But the seasons are changing. Are you ready? The way you get ready is not hiding your head in the sand. It's not acting like everything's going to be, well, 2020 is over and everything's going to be fine. No. God wants to bless us. God wants to anoint us. God wants to use us more than ever. But he can't use us if we don't get our focus back on Him. Amen? When your focus is back on Him, then you can love your enemies. When your focus is back on Him, then you can reach down in the ditch and pick up somebody that you would never pick up before. When you got your focus on Him, you can love the unlovable. When you got your focus on Him, you can go and pit the detention center, even after somebody just urinated through a door and got all over your feet and said, "Will you pray for me?" Seasons are changing. Are you ready? Watch this. Whatever we may face in the coming years, remember this, God's allowing it. This, God is allowing this. Whatever's happening now, God is allowing it. This division in our country, God is allowing it. Perhaps the church itself was going to face strong persecution. Perhaps the world was going to get, well, not perhaps. Yes, the world's going to get worse. Okay? But just remember this. As the world gets worse, our light will shine brighter. Amen? You can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. You can't hide your head in the sand. Now is the time for us to learn God's word. Quit getting pilly-paler over Mickey Mouse mess, and go ahead and get down to business and let God be God. Get your eyes on the throne, not on people. Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on the throne. Because now is the time for us to shine. Now, if ever, you think it was easy living in Jesus' time with the Roman Empire in charge? They could kill you on the street and get away with it. When Jesus says that if your enemy or somebody compels you to tote their load a mile, you take it 2 miles. Wait a minute, compel. What does that word compel mean? That word compel means literally, it means to put you in service, in Roman service. That word compel. What he was saying is if the Roman soldiers, they could take their load no matter how big their pack was. When they got tired of taking their pack, they could walk by any Jew. Drop their load at their feet and say, "Take it for a mile." And you could not say no. Because you were compelled into service. Now you're part of the service and you're under that soldier and you had to take it for a mile. So what they did was the children couldn't do anything about it. So they taught everybody how to walk off a mile. So when you got to the end of the mile, you could just drop the load and say, "Okay, I've done my duty." And Jesus says, "We're going to show them something different. When they tell you to take it for a mile, you take it 2 miles. You show them something a whole lot different. Well, the world's ready to see something a whole lot different out of us. Some awesome stuff. Some powerful stuff. Awesome, awesome stuff. We need to be getting our eyes on the throne more than ever. More than ever. So get ready. I'm almost through. Almost. We've only got 20 more slides. Get ready. And this is what I was going to talk about this week. Next week I will be talking about, unless the Lord changes my mind again. I'm going to start talking about pictures of the rapture throughout the Bible. And the very first one I'm going to talk about is from the Old Testament. I was going to do it today. I'll do it next week. Perhaps the Lord will come and take His bride home. And we'll finally be raptured out of this corrupt world. You know how to catch monkeys? So they can eat them and or catch them for amusement. They have a trap, a box. And in this box, the hole is big enough for the monkey to stick his hand in and out with ease. But if he makes a fist, he can't get out of the box. And so they find something that allures him, and they put it in that box. And the monkey reaches in and grabs it, and then he won't let go of it. And so when his people come to get him, he can't get away because he won't let go of what he prized in that box. I'm asking you now, to release your grip. What's coming is going to blow you away, for good and bad. You're not going to believe the bad that you're getting ready to see. But at the same time, you will, if you'll let go, you won't believe the good that you'll see also, because we have the answer. Amen? So now, get ready. Like I told you, only 20 more. Get ready. Whatever lies ahead, we must trust Christ alone more than ever before. His children, listen, we can sit quietly in His presence. We can be at peace no matter what happens. The great I Am is in control of whatever is going on. Come on up here, guys. Let me play something. Let me ask you a question again. Who's really in charge? Who's calling the shots? Satan would have the church just to eat itself up. Keep us with our hand. You know, there's this woman. This woman had a vase that had been passed down in her family for hundreds of years. This vase was priceless. Mother had passed it down to mother, to mother, to mother. Four or five generations. It's a priceless vase. One day, a toddler come along and got his hand, arm stuck in the vase. They tried their best to get his arm out. He's screaming, he's hollering. They tried soap, they tried everything to get his arm out of that vase. He screamed louder, even more louder. Now his arm's starting to swell. He's cried himself out trying to get out of there. So finally they did what they didn't really want to do. That priceless, irreplaceable vase, they broke it to get his hand out. When they got his hand out, it was like this. What was he holding? A penny. If he'd have let go of that penny, what was priceless could continue. I'm telling you, let's focus on the throne. And quit holding on to pennies. Every day, I see it. Oop, I can't even hold it. Wherever it went. Now we got to stop the church and everything because I can't find my penny. Every day, it seems like I spend my time many times getting people to get the penny out of their hand so they can flourish in God. Today, there it is. Now everybody can get back settled down because I found my penny. That penny can be attitudes. That penny can be opinions. That penny can be things that honestly, 10 years from now, you'll look back and say, really? I held that penny in my hand and let the vase break. I let the priceless break because I was holding a penny. You might not see it now, but it will be. Focus. Focus. Not on people. Remember when we come in here? Father, this is the most two important. Where's that? It's on the other sheet. two most important hours of my week. Help me to focus on you. I'm here to worship, not be entertained. Is it perfect? No. Is it going to make everybody happy? No. But who do you want it to make happy the most? When you go to work tomorrow, you may not like everything that happens at work. Let me ask you a question. Do you think if God raises up kings and sets them down, he didn't put you at your work for a purpose so you can make a difference in people's lives? But you can't make a difference in their lives if you're holding on to a penny. Everybody stand. Father, if there's ever been a time we need to let go of the pennies in our life, and focus on the throne, it's now. The very first step of healing in this nation is for everybody to let go of pennies and start focusing on the throne. God, help us. Help us to do this. Right now, nobody looking around, every eye closed. Number one, if you don't have that relationship you once had with God, and you're wanting it to get strong again, with nobody looking around, every eye closed, would you put that hand up? I need God strong in my life again. Would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Now, if you're here today, and you would say, you know what? I've got my focus off the throne. I've got my hand in that priceless jar holding on to that penny. And I need God to help me to release that penny and worship him and get my eyes on the throne with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm speaking to you today. Would you just raise your hand and say, look, I've had too many pennies get the best of me in my life. And I need God. I need God to help me let go of that penny. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Let's pray together. Lord, my focus needs to be on you. I need you to be the center of my life. Help me not to put my opinion ahead of what your word says. Help me not to put my opinion above what you can do in my life. Help me, Lord, not to put my opinion or my way above your way. And Father, help me, Lord, to shine in this dark time. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Tuesday nights, we're talking about how to stand. This week, we're going to be talking about standing.